your Bibles. In a little while, we're going to read from Jeremiah chapter 29 and read a few verses there, as well as some others as we go through our Bible study today. In fact, let me just start with a word of prayer, because I really don't know what we're going to do this morning. All right, let's pray together. Father, you know the message that you've given to me to share today. And Lord, I want to be so accurate with your word and your spirit and follow your leading and what we share here today and the challenges that we present to your people. I just ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit again, Father, on my life today to speak the word of the Lord, to speak the word in truth. And I pray for our ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the church today. I know, Father, that the Holy Spirit can take the seed of the word of the Lord and bring great faith to result in each of our hearts. And I ask you to do that today, God. Help us to believe you, to believe in you, but also to believe you and to believe your word and to receive it and to live accordingly and experience the full blessing of it. Thank you for this time, Father. Encourage us all as your people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, in a little while, we'll get to that passage of Scripture from Jeremiah chapter 29. This is going to be more of a smorgasbord type message today. There's just some things that we've been sharing over the last several Sundays with you as we're talking about allowing the Holy Spirit to have control of our lives. Rather than living our own way, doing our own thing, going through life that way and experiencing a lot of the things that we experience that sometimes are very detrimental, very painful and hurtful to us. We can make better choices when we follow the Spirit of the Lord, do things God's way. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death and destruction. If we learn to follow the Lord's way, we find the way of peace and blessing instead. And so we've been sharing a lot of things with you about that and about the Holy Spirit and His working in our lives over the last several weeks. And I want to There are just a lot of loose ends that I've kind of left dangling out there and a lot of additional things about a lot of those things that I want to share with you today. So, as I said, this is just going to be kind of scattergun, and I hope we can make some sense. You can make some sense out of what I'm trying to share. I'll just trust the Lord to take what I put out there and do something with it. That's the best I can do today, all right? So receive what the Lord would say to you today as we continue to talk about allowing the Holy Spirit to have control of our life. We've said that when the Spirit of the Lord has control, that we begin to experience the nature of God and the blessing of His presence in our life. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 16, I believe it is, in His presence is fullness of joy. And just by dwelling in the presence of the Lord, we can experience the fullness of the joy of God in our lives as we walk with Him day by day. And so as we allow the Holy Spirit to come and we allow Him to have control, we experience the love of God that brings healing to us and the hope of the Lord that helps us to look forward to the future. Have you ever gotten out of bed or you wake up some mornings and you're thinking about getting up, but then all of a sudden you think, what's the use? What's the point? You know? And sometimes we feel such despair in life that we don't really know the point of getting out of bed in the morning. And we really have, the problem is we have no future. We have no hope for the future, no vision for what God has prepared for us for that day. But when we come to the Lord and we let the Holy Spirit have control, the Bible says that we can abound in hope by the presence of the Holy Spirit. That means we can have a positive expectation for the future. Because of His presence. Because God has a good plan for all of our lives. That if we follow after His heart and His plan, we can have hope for everything and every day in our life. Understand this, child of God. When the Holy Spirit comes to us, He doesn't come into our lives to be a passive observer of what's going on in our life. He comes to participate with us. He comes to take control. Now, the Holy Spirit has been referred to as a gentleman. He doesn't force His way in. He doesn't force dominance over us. He allows us to continue to make choices. But listen, again, if we start following the Holy Spirit and following the ways that He would lead us, we'll start making better choices. And as a result of that, we'll live a better life. Somebody said one time, you know, we make our choices and then our choices make us. I mean, to realize that's true. That's spiritually true. The Bible says you reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, if you sow after the things of the Lord, then you reap life. We make our choices, and our choices make us. That's why we need to choose the way of the Lord and the way of the Spirit of God. And you know, God has made so many promises in the Bible. And it's the promises that we see there that we need to lay hold of in faith and trust God to fulfill in our hearts and in our lives. I think it's important as I share this message, and it's just, again, a lot of little things I want to share with you. And one of them is this. A lot of times when you hear the messages like I'm sharing with you about faith and trusting the Lord and the Holy Spirit and these kind of things, sometimes we get confused over what God will do and what God won't do and what is God's will for our lives and all of that. And let me just say this about all that. You and I can't tell God what to do in our lives. God is sovereign. God has a plan. God has something He wants to do. We can claim the promises, but beyond that, we can't tell God what to do in our lives. But on the same hand, just as surely as we can't tell Him what to do, much of the time, we're still responsible if He does something in our life. And the if has to do with our faith. Do we believe what He said? Think about it in the context of salvation. We know that the Bible says, and Ed quoted the scripture today, we know that the Bible says that God wants everybody to be saved. God wants everybody to know Jesus. He wants everybody to go to heaven. Okay? That's the will of God. We know that. No question about that. But everybody doesn't go. Why not? Because everybody doesn't believe. See? So even though God determines the what, we play a role about the if that will happen in our lives by our faith. And it's not just about salvation. It's about whatever God wants to do. You know, if God wants to restore our broken homes or our broken marriages, you know, God wants to do these things, but the if as to whether He will do them or not lies within us. And will we believe? Will we surrender? Will we let Him have control? Will we let Him do what He wants to do in our lives? And so we need to let the Holy Spirit have control in our lives. And by the way, and I think I used the example one time before about, you know, we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and we talk often about an example such as a cup that, hope I don't drop this, such as a cup that's full of water, and this one's about 80% full, but we could pour more water in it, we could fill it, and we could say that cup is filled with water. And we liken ourselves to being filled with the Holy Spirit to a cup that's full of water. And I want to suggest to you that that's not really an accurate illustration. Because if you notice, looking at this cup full of water, which one is in control? It's not the water, it's the cup. See? It's the cup. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not like a cup full of water. Because when we're full of the Holy Spirit, we don't control the Holy Spirit. He controls us. He controls us. And Ezekiel, there's a prophecy in Ezekiel about a temple. And I believe that's the church, by the way. The Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And there's a prophecy in the Old Testament prophecies of Ezekiel where Ezekiel sees a temple that has a river flowing out of it. And the further that river flows, the deeper that river gets. And it's first ankle deep, and then it's knee deep, and then it's waist deep. And he finally gets to the point where he said the river was so deep, your feet didn't even touch the bottom. All you could do, watch this, all you could do was just go with the flow wherever it took you. I want to tell you something, guys. That's where God wants us to be in spiritual things. He wants us to be out in the deep water, out where our feet don't touch the bottom, and where there's nothing that we can hold on to, all we can do is lay back in the water and let it take us where it wants to take us. And that's where we need to be in the Holy Spirit. Not holding on to things, not out there where we can plant our feet, you know, and stop when we want to, but just laying back in the water and letting the water take us where it wants to take us. The Holy Spirit wants that kind of control in our lives. And we need to surrender to the Lord and allow Him to have that kind of control in our lives so that He can do the kinds of things in our lives that He wants to do. Luke tells us that the Father wants to give us the Holy Spirit. And John tells us that He gives the Holy Spirit without measure. It's that overflow. It's that river too deep to plant your feet in the bottom. We've talked about how the Holy Spirit has come that we might experience heaven while we're on the way to heaven. I like to think of that as the ministry of Jesus. When I think about Jesus, and if you think about His ministry, and he travels around and He preaches the Word, and then the Bible says He not only preached the kingdom of God, but He demonstrated the kingdom of God with signs and wonders and miracles. I like to think of it this way. Jesus went around telling people about heaven, and then He also went around passing out little bits of heaven. You know, the Bible says in heaven, there's no sickness and disease there. There's no sorrow. There's no sadness. There's no death. That's what heaven is like. And when Jesus walked among the people and ministered to the people, He was in essence passing out little bits of heaven. To sick people, He would give them a little bit of heaven and they'd be made well. You know, to those who didn't have anything to eat, He'd feed them. Just give them a little bit of heaven, a little angel food. And they would be strengthened, you know. And He's passing out little bits of heaven. And I really believe that's what God wants to do for all of us as we journey through life. God wants us to experience Him in the person of His Holy Spirit as we yield to Him and let Him have control and let Him do what He wants to do in our lives. And look, guys, this is more than just theology for us, okay? You know, a lot of preachers use a lot of personal illustrations and stories, and that's good. I get a lot out of that when they do that. I'm not real comfortable with doing that because I don't ever want any message that I bring to ultimately be about me. I want it to be about the Lord. I want it to be about the Holy Spirit. And so I don't talk a lot about personal things, but I think it's important for you to know that when we're sharing things like what we're talking about theologically, the power of the Holy Spirit to heal you, to save you, to restore you, to strengthen you, to meet your needs, and all of these things, we've experienced this in our journey. Four weeks from today, I hit a major milestone in my life. I'm going to be 60 years old. I realize I don't look half that old. But we've had a lot of experiences in our journey through life, and we've shared those things with you from time to time, and we've talked about how God healed our children when we were young parents, and our kids would get sick, and sometimes we just saw God just heal our children when our marriage collapsed over 25 years ago, and God just healed it from the worst possible circumstances. I was electrocuted 36, 37 years ago. Never went through. They warned us about the stages of grief and all of these kinds of things. And the Lord just took care of Becky and I as young people and provided for us. And we never went through all of that grief and those kinds of things. When my dad passed away, almost, it's hard to believe it's been 5 years since Dad passed away. But the last 5 years of his life, I spent a lot of time with him. The last 2 years, I spent a great deal of time with my father because Dad had a lot of illnesses and a lot of problems, a lot of things going on. And we were always going to the kidney doctor or the heart doctor or the lung doctor or the cancer specialist or to this clinic or that clinic or something like that. And three or four times a week, I'm with Dad in the emergency room or someplace like that. And I knew what was going on. Look, Dad was over 80 years old. I know. Listen, the Bible says that we live in corruptible, mortal bodies. And what we call aging, this will bless you today, what we call aging is really dying. It really is. And the older we get, and I knew Dad was over 80, and his body was just breaking down. You know, and he'd get one thing fixed up and something else would break down. And I knew I was watching right before my very eyes. I knew I was watching my father die. And I walked with him through the valley of the shadow. I walked with my father for about 2 years.
And God just sustained us through that and gave us strength to go through that and be able to deal with all those things. And I tell you all that kind of stuff just to say to you, God absolutely loves us so much. We can't comprehend it. We really can't. And He has so many good things that He wants to do for all of us. For all of us. God knows there's nothing special. There's nothing special about me. I feel like Paul. Paul called himself the chief of sinners. And what Paul was saying was, look, if God do it for me, He'll do it for anybody. Well, I know what Paul meant by that. When I see God do things in my life, and I know the kind of life and some of the mistakes that I've made, and I realize that God is still a loving and gracious God, that He would do good things for me. I can look at you and I can say, man, God will do anything. There isn't anything God can do for you. There's absolutely nothing that God can't do for you. If we'll give our, and again, I'm not promising to you what God's going to do for you. I can't do that. God's sovereign. God is sovereign. And God's going to choose what He's going to do in your life. But I promise you, brother and sister, if we will seek the Lord, if we will pursue God with all of our heart, if we'll listen to the Lord and trust and believe in what He says, God will do good things in all of our lives. And it's by the Holy Spirit within us. It's by the Holy Spirit within us that He brings us to faith where we can believe. It's by the Holy Spirit that He shows us what He's going to do so that we can believe and trust Him to do what He wants to do in our lives. There just isn't anything that God can't do. And He loves us so much, and He wants to do so much in all of our lives. And of course, ultimately, and we'll get there probably next week, ultimately, it's not just about us. You understand that what God does in our lives, it's not just about us. God, I love, we had a preacher, a guest speaker back in the early 80s to come to our church, and he made this statement. I've never forgotten it. He said, God does not heal you of sickness and disease so you can watch television with no pain. That's not why He does it. See? That's not why He does it. Now, He does it because He loves you. He does it because He wants to bless you. But He does it to make you a witness for Him. When God does something in your life, now you've got a testimony. You've got a story to tell. You've got something you can tell to somebody else about the goodness of God and what He's done in your life. And that's why God wants to do those things. But guys, listen, we've got to come to a place where we believe God. Not just believe in God, but we believe God. We believe what He says to us. We believe that His word is true and that He cannot fail. And that He is able to do even the impossible. And we've got to have the kind of faith, and it's the Holy Spirit who brings us to that place of faith. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to know who Jesus is and to know what Jesus can do in our lives. The Holy Spirit brings us to faith. We're going to read the scripture from 1 Corinthians 12 probably next week. Paul says, no one can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. In other words, he's simply saying, it takes the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to who Jesus is. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't open your eyes so you know Jesus, you never will know Him. You never will really understand Him. You'll never know what He can do in your life unless the Holy Spirit opens your eyes to that. The Holy Spirit brings us to faith. And then the Holy Spirit's divine power works God's plan in our life, whatever blessing that might be. But you and I have to come to that place of faith, and we have to make a decision. You and I do play that role in the whole process. We make the decision. Am I going to believe or not? Am I going to believe? And am I going to keep on believing? Because listen, real faith has that aspect of tenacity to it that says, I'm not going to quit believing until God fulfills His promises in my life. So, you know, I think it's important that we understand what real faith is. A lot of times what we think is faith is just knowledge. Just some knowledge, and it's just head knowledge. It's not real heart faith. That's why when hard times come and problems come in life, that head knowledge can be shaken. Our faith can be shaken, and we can start doubting. We can
disbelieve. But if we have real faith, the real faith of God, which is a tenacious faith that holds on and says, hey, this is what God says. This is what's going to happen because God says so. It's that simple. We have that kind of faith. We'll see. Let me just share with you. We talked about several stories over the last couple of weeks from the New Testament of people who had that kind of faith. We talked about Bartimaeus. Remember Bartimaeus, the blind beggar sitting by the road at Jericho as Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, as he's going to Jerusalem to be crucified. And he hears that Jesus is coming and he cries out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus' disciples told him, hush, be quiet. Listen to what they said. Here's what they were saying. Jesus is an important man, and he's got more important things to do than to deal with you. You ever felt like you weren't important enough to God? You ever felt like God wouldn't do things in your life because you just didn't deserve it and you weren't very important? Most of us have felt that way from time to time, if not most of the time. That's essentially what they were telling Bartimaeus. Jesus is important and you're not. So just be quiet. But you know what old Bartimaeus said? He wouldn't be quiet. He kept on screaming. He kept calling out, Son of David, have mercy on me. He would not let people keep him from what Jesus wanted to give him. Sometimes we let people rob us of our faith and keep us from getting what Jesus wants to give to us. But Bartimaeus had a tenacity to his faith, and he wouldn't let go, and he wouldn't shut up, and he wouldn't quit. We talked about another woman from I believe Matthew chapter 15 tells us about a woman that had a demon-possessed daughter, and she came to Jesus and she called out to Jesus, and the Bible said Jesus just ignored her. And she kept calling out. And the disciples tried to send her a different way too. But she finally got to Jesus and she fell at his feet and she said, Jesus, would you please heal my demon-possessed daughter? And Jesus looked at this woman and he said, it's not right to take what belongs to the children and feed it to the dogs. Back in those days, this was a Gentile woman. And back in those days, the Jews referred to the Gentiles as dogs. Jesus was using that same reference where that woman is concerned. But listen, Jesus wasn't putting down that woman. Here's what was, Jesus was testing the quality of her faith. Is she going to hang on to faith? Is she going to keep believing? Is she going to continue to trust me? Or is she going to let go of her faith? That's what was going on in her life. This woman, we talked about the woman with a bleeding disorder. And she came to Jesus. She had to press through a crowd. There was a crowd of people following Jesus. And she came through and she pushed her way through the crowd. She could have looked at that crowd and said, there's no way I can get to those people. I'm going back home. She wouldn't let go of her faith. She was determined to get to Jesus. Guys, listen. How determined are we to get to Jesus? How determined are we to lay hold of what God has for us? It's the quality of our faith. It's the quality of our faith. That's the question, you see. And we need to have that kind of tenacity where we're not going to let go until we receive what God's promised to give us. We used to have dogs in our home. We had several of them at one time. And one of the dogs that we had was a German Shepherd. And he was kind of high strung like German Shepherds are. And he used to love to, when he was a young pup, he used to love to run and play and do things like that and bounce off the furniture. We could get him running and he would actually bounce off the back of the sofa as he sprang in another direction across the living room. It was just, a very expressive dog. When he wanted to go outside, he went to the door and he barked. And if you didn't let him out, there was a trash can right next to the door. And if you didn't come just a few minutes, let him out, he knocked a trash can over the floor. I mean, he told you what he wanted. And if you didn't come, you better come quick and he let you know. He used to like to play, and most a lot of dogs that do this, they grab a towel, you know, and want to fight with, he'd grab that towel and he'd just shake it as hard as he could like that. And he would not let go. He wouldn't let go. And you could grab the other end of the towel and spin him around until you literally lifted him off of the floor, spinning around and around and around, and he would not let go of that towel. I mean, and then finally, you know, we quit. I mean, we've got other things to do. What's he got to do, right? He's just got to play with that towel. But I mean, he would hold on and not let go. And I'm just saying to you, that's the kind of faith that we need to have where God is concerned, that we're going to hold on. We're not going to let go no matter who tries to sling us off of it, okay? And the devil will set all kinds of obstacles up in front of us to try to keep us from believing in the Lord and to rob us of our faith. And see, the enemy knows, the Bible says, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And Satan knows that if we stay in faith where Jesus is concerned, we're going to defeat him where our lives are concerned. And so he's got to get us off of faith so that he can beat us. And so he puts all kinds of obstacles and tests and trials and temptations and things in our life, and parties and drugs and alcohol and drunkenness and materialism and greed and lust and sex and trials and tests and fears and worries and anything that he can possibly throw at us to get our eyes off of Jesus. We talked about how faith is what plugs us into the power of God. But if you know, if we pull these plugs out of the wall, there's no more power going to them. And if the devil can unplug us from our faith in the Lord, he can keep God's power from operating in our lives. And we have to have a tenacity to our faith that says, you know, I'm not letting go. I'm going all out for God. Look at Jeremiah. I asked you to turn to Jeremiah a couple of days ago. It's Jeremiah 29. And verse 11 is a very familiar verse. We share it often with you. It's a theme verse for my life from years ago. But I want to read 11 through 13. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, the prophet, God through the prophet says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." See the promise? I have a plan for your life. I have a hope for your life. And when you come to me, I will listen. But now watch, look at verse 13. "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." With all your heart. Here's the thing, guys. Where our faith in the Lord is concerned, we can't be half-hearted. We can't be half-hearted in this walk of faith. We've got to come to the Lord with all our heart. In the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, and I share this scripture a lot too, the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth. God is looking for someone to whom he can demonstrate his power and show himself strong. To him, the scripture goes on to say, whose heart is completely God's. Completely God's. If we're going to experience God in our journey through life, we can't be half-hearted in our walk with the Lord. We've got to pursue God with all of our heart. And that's the second thing. I'm almost done here this morning. The second thing I want to share with you in order to walk in the things of the Lord and see the power of the Holy Spirit. Not only do we need to come to faith and have a tenacity to our faith, we need to stay hungry for God. We need to stay hungry for God. Now listen, this is big. We need to stay hungry for God. Too often when we see God do something in our lives, something significant maybe happens in our life, God begins to do something where our purpose is, a lot of times we will just kind of settle down right there. And we don't press on any further. And we think, well, you know, God has accomplished his purposes. This is where I'm going to be. This is where it's at. There's nothing further to do, and we'll just settle down. And you know what happens? When we do that, we get complacent, spiritually lazy. We get lethargic. We become apathetic. All of these things, guys, all of these things are thieves of our faith. But we can't allow that to happen. We must continue to pursue the Lord all the days of our life. Let me just share some scripture real quick. Psalm 42 verse 1 says, "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you." The psalmist, the picture is of a deer that's been running and running and running, and he's just, you know, just panting and panting, and if he doesn't get a drink of water, he's going to die. And the psalmist says, just like that deer that is desperate for water, he says, God, I am desperate to know you. That's where God wants us to be as his people. Always seeking, always pursuing, always desperate for the Lord. Psalm 84 verse 2 says, my soul longs and yearns for the courts of the Lord. Paul said it this way in Philippians. He says, forgetting those things that lie behind, I press on to the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. He said, I press on. Paul had accomplished a lot of things for God by that point in his life. But he said, you know what? God, I'm still here. So evidently you're not done. And you've got more, and I'm pressing on to get it. Paul says, God, I want everything you've got for me in this life. I don't know about you guys. I want everything God's got for me in this life. I don't think he's done just because I'm almost 60. See, Jim knows. God doesn't stop at 60, does he, Jim? See? He doesn't stop. And we can't stop. We need to keep pressing on. We need to keep pressing on. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it'll be open. But how that literally should be translated? Ask and keep on asking is a literal rendering of the text. And it'll be given. Seek and keep on seeking. Never stop. Don't ever stop seeking the Lord. Because as long as there's breath in your lungs, there's something more. There's something beyond. There's next that God has for you. And whatever he does today gives you a testimony for today, and that's good. But now he's got something for tomorrow. See? He's got something beyond. Aren't you glad I had dinner the other day. I'm going to have it again today. I'm going to probably have it tomorrow too. My point is, guys, look, just because we ate the other day, we can't live off yesterday's dinner for the rest of our lives. We're going to have to eat every day. And God wants to bless us in the same way. And the things that God does in our life, what God does today gives me a testimony today, but he wants to do something tomorrow, so I got a fresh testimony for the next day. And you as well. And God wants us to keep on pursuing him. Keep on pursuing. Just because you went to the restaurant one time, I guarantee if you liked it, you're going back. Well, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And when we taste from the Lord, man, we're going to go back. And I want to tell you, it's the things that God, one of the things that keeps me hungry for the Lord is the things that God did before. Those things that God did before in my life are proof to me that he can do it again. And so that's why I stay hungry for the Lord. It helps me to stay hungry by remembering what he did, so that I can press on to what he's going to do. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything that you need will be added to you. Hebrews 11:6, God is a rewarder of those who diligently, continually seek him. Keep pursuing the Lord. Keep pressing on. Acts chapter 17 actually tells us, in fact, let's just read that one last passage, if you'll turn there with me. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 24. The Apostle Paul is preaching to the men of Athens in this passage of Scripture, preaching Jesus to them. He says in verse 24, he says, Acts 17, 24, the God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temple made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything. Since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one man Here's confirmation of the Genesis story of creation in Adam and Eve. God made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and boundaries of their habitation. Look at verse 27. Here's why he created man in these five words: that they would seek God. Brother and sister, you were created to seek God. You were created for a relationship with the Lord. You were created to seek Him and pursue Him all the days of your life. And when you pursue Him, He promises, I will be found by you. And I'll show myself strong in your life. And all that God does for us in our life, He does it in order to make us a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can close your Bible. I'm going to read one more passage. Understand that everything that God is doing in us, He's doing it to bless us, but He's doing it not just to bless us, but to make us witnesses and to give us a testimony for the rest of the world. Guys, you're here so that the rest of the world can know Jesus. We're here so that the rest of the world can know Jesus. And it's by the Holy Spirit and what He does in us that we get a testimony. And it's by the Holy Spirit who works through us that we're able to bless others in His name. And in 1 Corinthians, it tells us about supernatural ways that God wants to work through every Christian in order to be a blessing. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, he says, "Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware." The Holy Spirit has gifts that He wants to give to us and then manifest, used through us to bless other people. He says again in verse 3, "I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God can say Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Only when the Holy Spirit reveals it can you know that Jesus is Lord." Then he goes on to say this. Now watch. He says, verse 4, he says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit." In other words, the Holy Spirit has a lot of different gifts that He wants to give to children of God in order to make them a blessing. "There are a variety of ministries and the same Lord." He ministers in different ways, and we all have different ministries and different callings on our life. "There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all people." And here's the point. These gifts are not about you and me. They're about God. The gifts of the Spirit that we're going to start studying next Sunday are not about you and me. They're about God. Okay? "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good," or so that all can be blessed. "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, the gift of healings by the one Spirit. To another, the effecting of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all of these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills." Guys, listen. You and I have been called to walk with the Lord, to let the Holy Spirit have control. If we'll do that, He'll do remarkable things in us. But He wants to use that to go beyond us, to show the world who Jesus is, so that they can know Him too. We're going to turn that corner next Sunday morning and start talking about how God wants to use you to advance His kingdom in this world. Let's pray together. God, I want to thank You for this opportunity once again to share with these precious people today the things that we have seen You do in our lives as Your children, and the way that we know You want to bless all of us. Your word says, "Beloved, I would that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Lord, I believe You want to bless us in every area of life, that we can be a blessing and be a testimony to others of Your goodness and Your love. God, help us to believe. Help us to trust. Open our eyes to the majesty and the glory and the splendor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to know Him and behold Him in all of His beauty. Help us to know what it means to be a Christian. Help us to understand our part in this journey through life. Our part of telling the world who Jesus is. God, help us to look outside of ourselves. Help us to look beyond ourselves and to believe the possibilities are endless of what you can do, what you can say, and of how you can show yourself strong for us and through us as your people. Increase our faith, Lord. Open our eyes. As we draw near to you, increase our faith. Help us to have a great expectation for our future, because you hold our future, and it's all about you. Would you stand with me this morning and stay just for another moment or two in an attitude of prayer? Would you ask the Lord to show you what His plan is for you, what His desire is for you, what He wants to do for you, what He wants to do through you as a child of God? It all starts with God. It all starts with God. And as we surrender to Him, all that He wants to accomplish, He will bring it to pass. What's the greatest need in your life today? Physical healing? Emotional healing? Salvation? Career change, a job opportunity? Ask God this question. Lord, from your perspective, what's the greatest need in my life today? You might be surprised at what God says. It may be totally different than what you think your greatest need is. There may be something else the Lord's trying to work into your character as a person. Ask Him, Lord, from your perspective, what's my greatest need? Then surrender to Him and expect Him to fulfill it. I promise you He wants to. He's a good God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you can take this message and somehow bring something out of it for every person here today. That you can impart through these words your divine will. And you can take these words as manna from heaven and you can feed your children. Would you do that, Lord? Would you encourage every person here today? Would you encourage us to draw near to you, to seek after you and to pursue you with all of our heart? That your will might be done in us, even as it's done in heaven. We ask it, Lord, not just for our comfort, but ultimately, Lord, we ask it for your glory. And so, Father, I commit this congregation into your hands. As they leave this place today, may they go with a renewed energy and desire to love you and to live for you and glorify your name. May the blessing of peace, joy, love, faith, and hope abide upon each of your children. To your glory, I ask it in Jesus' name. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day. Till your likeness may be seen in me. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you have a great day in the Lord.